This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com, and joining me for a match reaction to the final game of the 2020-21 season, Mr. Chris Budd and Mr. Phil Shaw. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
All right. Not as good. Oh, who's that? Oh, it's Mr. Shaw.
Hello.
Right at the back. Come forward. Come closer. Closer, Phil. Come
up,
closer.
Up in the cheap seats at the back.
You're lying. You weren't at Villa Park. But Mr. Budd was.
I was.
So we will get his insights, 3D insights to the game, which, I mentioned this on the previous podcast. The end of this season had a similar feeling to that Gerard Houllier season, where the final half was kind of a bit of a mixed bag. And then the last two games in that season, we beat Arsenal and Liverpool out of nowhere. And here we are again, beating Spurs and Chelsea. And suddenly, everything's hunky-dory, is it not?
A really positive end to a largely positive season, if a bit frustrating in patches, but a really nice way to... You know, a really, really good last week, wasn't it? Two pretty good performances, two good wins, and as you said, Everything feels a lot more rosy.
So talk me through the protocols of the COVID Villa Park station. I mean, there was a new station. There was
sanitation stations.
Yeah. So how was it? Did you feel like you had your civil rights impeded, or was it all right?
Actually, no, it was fine. I mean, I thought it might take a little while to get into the stadium. I was in my usual spot in the upper Holton, so of course you have to go through the initial sort of checks, which were, there was barely anything. They were meant to be doing photo checks on your tickets. There was none of that. There was talk that there might be temperature checks. None of that. Straight up the stairs. Bit of a queue to get in the turnstile. But again, no, there was like one steward there. Usual getting through the turnstile. Then once you got into the ground, you'd follow you had like a specific route up to your seat through the new word of the week, vomitory.
Did they give you a map?
Unfortunately not. I was hoping for one. But it was just, it's arrowed all the way in, and then you literally get straight to the steps and up and straight into the stand. There's no sort of fanning around getting a drink or a bite to eat or anything. It's just everything was shut straight up the concourse.
No drinks delivered to your seat?
No, unfortunately not. It's not like Australia. Yeah. And then just straight to my seat. And then I'd say about 50-50. Most people had a mask on and kept it on. Some didn't, each their own.
But what was your mask of?
Mine was just plain. Just a boring plain mask.
Oh, COVID masks. I thought you meant like masks to pretend.
It wasn't Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I had my Super League mask on. And
I would have had a Mexican wrestler mask on, I think. And, Phil would have had a GIMP mask on.
I thought I saw Rodgers in one before the game, actually.
Oh, yeah. If you saw one in the lower Holt, that would have been him, I think.
Yeah. Dan, who lives in the future, he seems to get videos of Villa goals out before they've even happened. He's the only person in the ground who could get a 4G signal, but anyway.
Well, you're not an EE, apparently.
I'm not.
EE's meant to be all right.
Yeah, they're up and running.
And O2's on its way, although Virgin are buying them out, are they not?
Supposedly. But in answer to your question, do you know what? I felt comfortable. It didn't feel like people were taking liberties. Even when we scored, it wasn't like people in your space or anything. It was reasonably spaced out in the seats. But as you heard on telly and in the ground, it was a really, really good atmosphere, very loud, considering it was
I was going to ask you about the actual atmosphere.
It was...
Because my only concern was because people are spaced out, it might be hard to, you know, get songs going and stuff, but it sounded fine.
Yeah, it was loud. I mean, before the game, you had that initial burst, of course. When I got into the ground, probably maybe 20 minutes before kickoff, something like that, and there were songs constantly going then already. When I walked up to the ground up Trinity Road, you could hear the whole team singing. So it was really positive. Obviously, Chelsea started well, but the fans kept with the team, got the goal, that, and then the place exploded. It was great for the first goal.
Well, anyway, let's. Whoa.
You ask a question, you get an answer.
Right, let's get into the game. Enough of the. We've all been to Villa Park before, haven't we? I'm joking. I forgot about the game, actually. Let's get into this game. I mean, context, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of relevant, more from a Chelsea point of view. They had to win, really, to 100% secure top four finish so they'd qualify in the Champions League, take the pressure off them a little bit. In terms of the final, although I'm sure they'll want to beat Manchester City in that. So Leicester, if Leicester beat Spurs, then that's when there would be a bit of a bit of trouble, because you would expect Liverpool to beat Palace, and they did. While Villa, nothing really to achieve. I mean, I think it was more, let's see if we can harness the home support to actually flip this phenomena of away form being like the new home form this season. And I think we actually pretty much did. I mean, we'll discuss it as we get into it. But the first, I had a good feeling going into this game. I mean, we spoke about this in Match Club. I had a good feeling going into this game, but then that good feeling evaporated after the first 20 minutes.
They were just dominant, weren't they?
When this like machine just appeared and just had us on the back foot. And I think I said in Match Club, it was like that, is it the T-1000 or whatever in Terminator 2?
Yeah.
That just keeps coming and coming and coming, and you just can't stop the damn thing.
Yeah.
And there was an air of inevitability about it at the start.
Yeah, it was very... not the stereotype, old school German teams, you know, they just kept going at it. And the only part of those old German teams that was missing was the finishing, because both Timo Werner and Mason Mount missed shocking chances. They were nearly easier to score, both of them.
Yeah, Mount especially had a great chance.
But other than that, the Villa defence coped well. They got the blocks in, they got the tackles in, and they did get it up to Watkins to try and hold it up. But Thiago Silva was definitely showing his class today.
Do you think there was a case of, Chelsea were thinking, like, let's start fast and let's finish this, and then we can ease off and see the game out and concentrate on the Champions League final, obviously.
I think so.
I mean, full marks to Villa for holding out, because it was a key period of the game, because I think it would have panned out exactly as we just mentioned there. Once they went ahead, it would have been very hard to get back into this.
I think the big thing was we held our shape really well. Villa were obviously very well drilled. I think the fact that we had Konsa at right back instead of maybe a traditional right back meant that we always had a flat back four. You know, Konsa didn't venture forward too often, which I think meant that we always had someone to cover Chilwell, who I thought he had a good game, but I think B, we let him have a good game, because I think Traore, while he was involved in a lot of what we did well, I think actually Chilwell had the beating of him, let's be honest.
One of the issues, and it actually came to bite us in the end, although luckily we were 2-0 up by then, is that when you play a centre-back at right-back, there's a certain passage of the play where they do naturally drift in a bit narrower.
Yeah.
And that allows the fullback of the opposition to obviously do the old drifting in on the far post routine, pretty much unmarked. So unless Traore is picking him up, and if Konsa has come in to a more central position to defend, that's the danger there. And that actually did play out. But anyway, before we get to that, Villa taking the lead. I mean, we've been berating the lack of... we're just effective corner, and let's say taking
set pieces in general.
Yeah, but specifically taking corners in an effective manner, where actually you've got a percentage chance of getting something from it. And this one was obviously worked, and Target took a corner, and suddenly Drouet came off his position and suddenly he was in, he just had the freedom of the 18-yard box, didn't he? And the finish was completely bizarre because he almost like lashed it, but he scuffed it at the same time and it kind of looped up and came in off the bar, because that should have been a howitzer, top-hand corner, you know, bing, bang, bosh, bulging net. But it had the same effect, but in a kind of a weird, archy fashion. It was bizarre.
Yeah, obviously, because of where I sit in the hole, and I was pretty much right behind the shot, and you kind of think, what's just happened there? Like,
where's that going? Because it looks like it's going over it from certain angles.
The way he attacks it, you think he's almost going to hit it straight back the way it came. And then he sort of cuts across it so much. And it's one of those ones where the goalie, as soon as it leaves his foot, the goalie thinks, oh, fuck, I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
Obviously, he goes off injured, doesn't he? Because I think he collides with the post, if I'm right in saying, hurt his rib.
It probably hurt his brain as well, trying to work out what was coming at him.
Yeah, but it was a great moment, you know, considering we'd soaked up so much pressure. They'd obviously been, Traore had had a half chance. McGinn had had a good chance where he drove through. And we'd had another opening where we actually, I think Watkins had run through and taken the wrong option. But actually, we took the hardest chance of the half. And instantly, you know, I mean, the ground erupted for starters, but you could see Chelsea were rocked.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because they gave away, I think it was two, it might have even been three yellow cards in quick succession.
Well, your man Grealish was helping out there because he was kind of needling away at them. You're watching it and you're seeing the close-ups and he's, you know, he's kind of giving every player shit from, I mean, he tried to cut Mount in half at one stage and then he was giving him verbals after that. And he was doing it all the time. And I was thinking, this is actually good because it's really winding up the Chelsea players. And they just lost their rag. They couldn't handle it. And that's suddenly where you've got the difference of having a proper home crowd, because you know, the crowd join in on that and tempers and, you know, Chelsea really found it hard to keep their cool. They were being wound up on the pitch from the sidelines, and it all played a big part. And they were still working out how the fuck Traore scored that goal as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah, we've all spoken about it, haven't we, all season? That thing of when there's fans in the ground, those momentum shifts can be quicker or more pronounced than in a sterile environment. And I think that's what happened. You saw Villa for probably from about the 40-minute mark to about 55 minutes. And when they got the penalty and the second goal, Villa were probably the better team for that small period. But that's where was when the game was won.
If you look at Chelsea's record, away record, I mean, under the current manager, you know, they haven't lost, I think, in eight games. But you saw why in that first 20 minutes. But
brilliant.
In a sterile environment where they can actually play like that, that's all well and good, but when you know you get under their skin, give them something to think about with that goal, and then you're riling them up on and off the pitch, suddenly it's not easy street like they used to.
No, exactly, because I mean the top four, big six, whatever you want to call them, they're so used to having things go their own way. I mean, even the slightest, you saw Pep whenever he had a player sent off at Villa Park, he went mental because this just doesn't happen to his teams, and it was nearly the same today. I mean, they're almost like toddlers whenever a decision goes against them. They just can't believe it, and it really gets into their head. And it's like like you said, Jack was giving them verbals the whole game, and you saw him getting it like Reece James and players like this, and they're just not used to it. They're not used to anything like this.
Yeah, Mings was winding him up. Did you see that when we had a corner?
Yeah,
and he just laughed at him. Yeah,
you got these Chelsea players thinking, who are this team that are like so far behind us to do this to us? And like, it's like, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to sort of level the playing field.
But it's almost in the last game of the season, finally, all the things that we've been highlighting throughout a season of podcasts were all being ticked off, from the corner, from the you know, the needling and being, let's say, shithousery, throwing a bit of shithousery about. And then also, you know, come on, lads, since every other bloody team does it to us, play for the penalty. And old Traore, perfect in that respect. That same issue that we've been talking about, get it in that grey area where you leave your leg dangling, they have to touch it, but you have to give it as a penalty because those are the rules.
Yeah, Grealish had one maybe a couple of minutes earlier as well where he really drove into the box and you could see they all went, whoa, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And they all sort of put their hands behind their back. And they almost tensed up because they didn't want to either commit a leg or put a hand out. They knew that Jack would play for the penalty because he's clever.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm against all this diving crap and whatever, but we're in a by any means necessary territory now because everybody does it. So, you know, just let's join the party. So Traore, who is fast becoming the best player we've ever bought, did the job, won the penalty. El Ghazi, who, according to historical Villa folklore, never misses a penalty, and he never puts it in the same place, does he?
Nope.
And 2-0 up, happy days.
But you always felt that Chelsea still had enough. You thought, we might need three here.
Which is where we bring in the context at the start. They were obviously, they've got to play the Champions League final. So this is a bit of a hindrance that they haven't sorted out their top four position. So they always had one eye on that Leicester game. Leicester 1-0 up, then it was 1-1, then they went 2-1 up, and you thought, oh, fucking hell, Chelsea are in the shit here. And at halftime, I said, I think what we need here is Leicester, when we're 1-0 up, Leicester to score the first goal in the second half, so they're 2-1 up. That will open up Chelsea. They'll have to come at us, because they'll have to beat us. One, you know, a draw, probably not enough. And that kind of played out, and we scored again. But then Leicester just imploded 2-2. And once the news that they were 3-2 down got to Chelsea, they just went, whoa, 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 we don't need, you know, foot off the gas, lads, it's over. Yeah. We're not bothered about this result anymore. And you saw the players on the touchline, the Chelsea players doing that. I think Mason Mount was doing it, and as well as the manager. Sorry, once I saw Spurs take the lead at Leicester, I thought, yeah, I think we're all right here now.
It was late enough in the day, so there was a lot of Chelsea pressure just to come on, especially whenever they brought on Havertz and just sacked off their midfield because the Havertz, the money he cost and everything else, he was causing problems, and Ziyech as well getting into those sort of those positions where, I mean, we had said before that everybody attacks down the right-hand side. Well, today the Matty Target got a workover as well because they doubled up and trebled up on him as well.
Yeah.
He had a really good game. You know, it was very deserving. Obviously, before the game, he got Players' Player of the Season, and you saw why today, because he maybe didn't get to do any of the attacking work he would have liked to, but defensively, he just stuck to his task because he did, as you said, he got a real working over, as did Konsa on the other side, who didn't get much help from Traore, because I thought Chilwell had a good game, but I think he had a nice run out for him where he thought, yeah, I can just bomb on here. I don't have to worry too much about tracking back.
What was the reaction to these awards?
They were good. I mean, it was a strange one because they did it before the game, right when the players are focused on their warm-ups. So Martinez, obviously the keepers can be a little bit more relaxed.
Why didn't they do it at the end of the game? I didn't get that.
No, it was a strange one, almost like it was all a bit sort of thrown together last minute. Chuck Mueka obviously got his. They all got good tributes from the crowd. But it was kind of, as you said, a strange end to the game. You know, the stoppage time kind of all petered out. Chelsea couldn't be bothered, and we didn't need to.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Guys,
how was the reaction to Chuck Mueka coming on?
Really good. Yeah, really good. He'd obviously won the Academy Player of the Year as well. And it was kind of a strange performance for him because I think they just put him and Ramsey on for kind of fresh legs. So he put himself around, he chased a lot, but didn't get a lot of opportunities. I think he had one half chance where he thought, actually, if he could have got a shot away, he might have had a real chance to score, but couldn't get the
shot. Yeah, I mean, he had nine touches.
Very difficult game, isn't it, for a young player to come in on when you've got multiple world-class midfielders really popping the ball around at pace. You're not up to the tempo of the game.
Quite surprised he got 18 minutes, actually. Ramsey got 12 minutes, hardly touched the ball. I think he got three touches. But it was interesting to see him get that. I thought, you know, he might get another 5-10 minute job. But
especially with, you know, bigger fish to fry.
Yeah,
against Liverpool in the final.
He's got silverware to focus on the very next day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, it was interesting him getting that extra time, because if he gets injured in this game against Chelsea, then suddenly it's like, oh shit, we've just cost ourselves potentially the Youth Cup.
But I think with the week he's had, he goes into that game, you know, really confident, doesn't he now? He's thinking, right, yeah. I'm a first team player now, I belong.
I'm the man, yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
And if rumours are to be believed that the European teams are scouting him, he's like, it just shows, no, there is a route for you here straight through into the first team because you've already done it.
Yeah, 100%. It'll give a lot of the youngsters confidence as well.
Somebody we haven't really mentioned yet, but who was one of the stars of the show was Mr. Marvellous Nakamba.
Superb.
Who has been putting in very good performances against these bigger teams.
He just does his job, doesn't he? He's what you'd call a proper number six. You know, Luiz is more of a silky ball player, but against teams like that, when you know you're not going to have a lot of the ball, you need someone who can just get stuck in, break things up. The amount of blocks he had and, you know, breaking the game up on the edge of the penalty area and just picking it up, giving it to Jack or getting it out, you know, into the corners for Watkins to chase. It was just a really hard-working, gutsy display. From all of them, really, but I think Marvellous got man of the match, didn't he? And I think that was probably the right shout, to be honest.
And, you know, he can hold a yellow card as well. It doesn't really perturb him, does it?
No.
But so do you think it's a case of mixing it up? Let's say Luiz is with us next season, mixing it up with those two. It's like horses for courses when you're playing like Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Nakamba's in. When you're playing your Norwich, maybe Norwich's and who else? Watford, maybe Luiz.
Even play both.
But can you? Who? Because the thing about when Nakamba plays...
I think you play Luiz further forward.
Yeah, but when... Nakamba plays, I'm talking about who does he take the place? Because when Nakamba plays, McGinn has more of a license and we see a better version of John McGinn.
Yeah. We just look more balanced, don't we, with Nakamba, for me.
So what are you saying, playing Luiz and Nakamba at the same time?
I think it's just an option, maybe if like a McGinn's not available. Or if you want to play Jack out wide, because obviously Jack played in the 10 role this week, didn't he, all through those games in both the Spurs and the Chelsea games.
But I don't see who's the fall guy.
No, not at the moment.
I think we'll probably play
both of them.
Yeah, I think we'll probably need to revisit that once the transfer window sort of kicked in the gear and we'll see who's staying, who's going, if there is anybody coming in, because the pieces are there. It's just a matter of putting them in the right place.
Yeah,
because it raises the question if Grealish is to be number 10, playing in the 10 position, what does that mean for, you know, Sanson, for example?
Well, he's going to have to
earn his rights.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a long way off and I wouldn't start him at this point. Based on what we've seen, I wouldn't start him. But if he has a good pre-season, then, you know, we may learn more about him, so to speak, in terms of his potential.
Yep.
Great save from Martinez late on. Unfortunate, he couldn't keep that Chilwell goal out.
He did a great effort, didn't he?
Good effort. I mean, when you looked in the replay from the side, it was like, oh, that's fucking well over, but nice try to pretend it didn't go over the line.
Yeah, from the other end of the stadium, you thought, wow, what a save. How on earth he kept that out? And then obviously signals the goal, which is a real shame. But yeah, he had a good game. He commanded them well. And yet again, the generally speaking, I think the back four and the defensive midfielders, they did really well. It was a good collective defensive performance. Let's be honest, you know, I think I mentioned this in the previous pod. You know, we beat Liverpool, who were a world-class team, but they didn't play remotely well. We beat Arsenal. They were crap. Spurs were crap. I would say this is the first time we've beat one of the real, like, what you call like an A-list club, and they were on top of their game, I thought. Chelsea were really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, they had 71% possession.
Yeah, they're very talented players. I mean, you look at what they bought off the bench. That's the best part of like £170 million worth of subs.
Yeah, so this is a great feather in our cap. I mean... Yeah. You know, they did ease off at the end, but it was only very late on because Leicester only started to flunk out in the final minutes of that game against Spurs.
And the red card was just bizarre for a captain to do that as well when he really didn't need to. It was just a stupid decision.
It's when you know you've won it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's the needle in the whole game then. He broke him.
Yeah, because I thought that, as I said in Match Club at halftime, if... that first half would have gone on for another 5-10 minutes. I think they might have seen red because they just lost their discipline, which was kind of strange and not a great sign for them. But it was all those doubts we've had about this team, all these question marks, and they kind of dealt with them head on in this game against it's probably our best win, I would say.
In terms of standard of opposition and in it not looking like a freak result, you know, the Liverpool one was such a bizarre anomaly. Whereas the Chelsea win is one that I think has to go right near the top. You know, the Liverpool one will get all the headlines, but I think the Chelsea one's probably the number two win of the season for me.
Because the Liverpool one, it's like we set up a trap for them.
Our game plan just worked.
Pretty obvious what the trap was, and they just went. They went straight into it.
Yeah,
and we picked them off. This one was like the first 20 minutes. You're like, how the fuck are we going to stop this?
And we just dug in.
It's like relentless. I just looked at our team and just thought, oh god, it's so weak compared to this machine that's coming at us. What can we do?
That's what football's like. I mean, it all comes down to taking your chances. I mean, we were like that in the first half against Burnley, against Brighton, and teams like that, and we just didn't take the chances, and then. If you leave them alive, the other team always comes back into it.
Well, we had, and, you know, we've called him a wild card all season. And, you know, he sprinkled some magic and that turned the tide. So are we happy to have Traore? Because he's been a mixed bag and nobody's really committed to saying that, you know, we like him. Even, let's say, a good signing. So what are we saying?
I like him. I think it's a big year for him next year because you're looking for consistency. I
mean, but you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that from a madman or genius type player.
I mean, it summed him up. I've got two examples. Obviously, you know, he scores the goal, which was a strange one, but fair play. He wins you the penalties. You think
most of his goals are strange.
Yeah. So the two big moments in the game he's involved in, but then we had two really great breakaways down the right hand side. Konsa, who barely got forward, he was very disciplined, but on the two occasions he did, he had a great overlap with a really easy ball and he failed to find him, and that kind of sums him up, the two sides of him.
I mean, if he
could do the easy things well, he'd be a brilliant player,
and that's his Achilles heel, really, is the easy things, because he can do things that you haven't seen before.
he can do things that no other player in the pitch, I'm even including Grealish in that, can do. I mean, I still go back to that sort of trick against Everton, just the simplicity of it and the sort of like nonchalance to like send Allen like sprawling on the ground. Nobody else would even try that.
And you know, this is the kind of stuff that you pay your money.
He's fun, isn't he? Though ultimately, he's fun to watch.
You pay your money to see. Is like you want a bit of fun. You want something that's a bit different, and you want to see football players express themselves when most of them are just, you know, these kind of, they're in the gym, they're athletes and they run around like crazy and it's all about numbers and metrics and how many miles you run. But with him, it's like he can give you something that will add a bit of levity in your heart as you're walking away, you know, from the whole, just giggling to yourself of what you've just seen.
And he has a tendency to pop up in big games or big moments.
It's kind of
strange. And, you know, we've obviously got a few players who can do that. Obviously, Jack did it on a couple of occasions. He had a couple of really great bursts forward. I don't think it was his best game against Chelsea, but he showed little glimpses of, you know, if he can get fully match fit again, I think he'll, you know, we've seen all season what a player he can be. And you saw little bits of that against Chelsea.
As Ron Atkinson once said, Aston Villa need to play with a bit of glitter.
Yeah.
And I think Traore has ticked the box. I mean, there was reservations. Leon fans were kind of slagging him off. I think that's mainly because of the inconsistency. But I'm kind of happy with him because I think in terms of like tools in your toolbox, he's something that's completely different. And going forward, we might be in a spot where, yeah, let's look into the future. You know, we're in the Champions League final and we're locked in Bayern Munich and it's like, 0-0 or 1-1 with like 10 minutes to go. That's when you bring him on. If he's not on already, he'll give you something for them to think about.
When we're subbing off an aging Lionel Messi.
He's too old.
Past it now, isn't
he? Yeah, he won't get in the team above El Ghazi now.
When Haaland's had a nightmare.
Yeah, when Haaland's shooting blanks for Villa, that's when you bring in Traore. Between them, him and El Ghazi have rattled up a few goals, have they not?
Yeah, Traore especially. I mean, he's contributed 7 goals in the Premier League and 6 assists. Now, compare that with El Ghazi. He's got 10 goals in the Premier League, but he's got no assists. So he needs to catch up in assists and Traore needs to catch up in goals. But if the two of them could get into sort of like competition with each other and sort of get that vibe going, it would be good moving forward.
But 17 goals between those two players, that's not a bad return, is it?
No, definitely not. And if you'd have said that at the start of the season, I don't think anybody would have complained. I mean, there's all kinds of things going around on Twitter where the number of goals varies by one or two, but they're saying Traore has more goals than like people like Foden and players like that. So
these are just comparisons that are convenient just to, you know, they're just like, I support Aston Villa comparisons, you're bigging up your own team. I mean, Foden's hardly played, has he really? But in terms of who's lacking, I think it's perhaps your central midfielder players in terms of goal return.
Yeah, probably.
And centre-backs as well. They need a couple more each.
I think McGinn would have liked to chip in a little bit more. I think he's obviously played a different role at times. I think you wonder what stats Jack would have had if he'd obviously had the whole season.
Yeah.
His were pretty ridiculous for that first sort of two-thirds that he played. And as you said, the centre-backs, full-backs are always difficult, but if they can chip in, you know, you look at Chilwell got into dangerous areas a lot.
Yeah. But you're kind of hoping that, you know, your centre-backs can maybe hit four or five each.
Yeah, yeah.
Around that. And that's, I mean, that's like a pretty decent return, by the way.
Yeah.
Or one of them at least getting around five. And I don't mean five own goals like Richard Dunn. Smith was pretty happy with the result. He said it's an ideal way to end the season. We came up against a very good team today and gave everything for the shirt. Disappointed we could not get the record of clean sheets for Martinez, although he did try to get that ball back over the line ASAP. He made some good saves, and for all the possession Chelsea had, he made comfortable saves. He has a magnificent signing and is well respected in the dressing room. I would say him and Mings are those kind of senior figures in that team. Grealish leads by example. Perhaps McGinn does to a certain extent. I'd just like to have another, I don't know, what do you want to call it, father figure or whatever.
It's like captains, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, just another captain further up the field as well. Because Watkins is kind of the quiet, get on with the job type.
By the way, I'll mention about him very quickly that when you're in the stadium, you realise the guy's work ethic.
Yeah.
He doesn't sort of do it justice. Obviously, on the telly, you get the highlights and you see when the ball comes to him, but he's constantly on the move. And he was up against a very good back four against Chelsea. But he had a difficult afternoon, but you can see there's definitely a player there. And I'd be quite surprised now, actually, if Southgate didn't take him to the Euros, because he offers you something, as you've said numerous times, guys, about he's like a bit like a Jamie Vardy. He's that little terrier who'll run around and just chase everything.
Yeah, doesn't give up.
He's an interesting option, yeah. He's got real heart. And
if you were playing against him, it would be, you wouldn't get any respite. It'd be a pain to play against as a centre-back, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare him to Bamford, who's probably his main competition, I'm not taking Bamford. He's just a Primark Harry Kane. You know, he's that sort of player. He's playing sort of in between 9 and 10. Watkins is a real different option. So, I mean, when you go to tournament football, that's what you're looking.
I wouldn't be that nasty towards Bamford. I mean, he's a prick, but in a Villa context. But I think he's a decent finisher, and the goals he scored against Villa were like top level. Some of his the little chip and whatever. Yeah. I wouldn't really call him Primark, but I don't know. I don't think he's like a main man.
I don't think he offers England anything that they don't have from a few other people.
Yeah.
Because he's a straight down the middle striker. I think Watkins, you can play him in a couple of different roles or
different kind of games.
Watkins
as well.
Is more of a kind of a weapon to be used. You know, he's not going to be a starter, let's be honest. But and we are more than well stocked in wide areas. So we shall see. I think the squad's obviously announced in the next few days.
Tuesday, I think.
Yep.
Right. Anyway, I think that's all we have to say on this game. We'll do a proper longer show where we'll talk about it probably in context to everything else, because it's a good scalp to have, and that's, add it to the list that includes Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs, Leicester as well. Not that they're anybody, because they always fade right at the end.
Well, we've taken 6 points off Arsenal. You know, you've taken 4 off Chelsea, you know, a very good Chelsea side. Beating Liverpool, should have probably taken 4 points off Liverpool as well, to be frank, but we did in the game there.
At least we end on an upbeat manner. So we will do a final show of the season in a few days. Let's enjoy this victory first. And until then, and we will have further shows throughout pre-season as well, we're not going anywhere, folks. So until the next one, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.